Norton Rainey, Sunday PM, June 23rd, 2013.
Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 17. When I was growing up, I told the Sunday school class today, I always thought about myself as a positive thinker. And now I look back at myself as a plastic positive thinker. And if you were to ask me, how are you doing, Norton? No matter how bad things were going in my life, I had the standard answer. If I were any better, I'd bust. Somebody said, how are you doing, Norton? If I were any better, I'd bust. That was my standard answer. I could be having the worst day of my life. But I call that plastic positive thinking. But we're going to look at something very positive tonight. Let's look at 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Notice the word reign and reigned in the past tense. It's also used twice in verse 21. That's what I want to talk about tonight, is reigning in this life. One of the meanings of this word reign is superior. Another meaning is exercise kingly rule. We as saints can reign in this life. Another definition is to control, exercise the highest influence. But think about exercising kingly rule. Think about being in control of our circumstances, that we can rise above our circumstances. We don't have to be under the circumstances of life. In Romans 8, 35 through 39, we see some more verses that connect with what we are talking about. In fact, when Virgil prayed today, he used the phrase that I want to emphasize. In fact, I'm just going to start with verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Notice conquerors, more than conquerors. Virgil prayed that in his prayer today. We can be more than conquerors. Do you think of yourself as more than a conqueror when you wake up in the morning? Do you think of yourself as reigning in this life and being in control of the circumstances of life and the trials that are going to come your way? Let's talk about reigning in this life. And notice, we're more than conquerors how? Through him. It's all about him. It's not about us. It's about him and allowing him to have his way in our life and working in our lives. Let's look at another verse or word that would help us to understand more fully what we're talking about when we talk about reigning in this life. Hold your place in Romans. We're going to come back to Romans, but I want to go to 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. 1 John chapter 5. And verses 4 and 5. Let's look at another phrase, another word that'll help us to understand what it means to reign in this life. Verses 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Notice the word overcometh is used twice in verse 4, and it's used again in verse 5. That's the word I want to call to your attention that connects and helps us to understand reigning in this life. And notice the word victory also in verse 4. That'll help us to understand what it means to reign in this life. The moment we believed, we overcame the world by faith. But you think about the Apostle Paul. You might say that Paul was an overcomer in every aspect of the word. The phrase full overcomer is not used in the Bible, but certainly it's implied when you think about the Apostle Paul. He was complete, perfect, absolute overcomer, whatever you want to say, but Paul overcame in every aspect of his life. So on a scale of 1 to 10, you would certainly say that Paul was a 10. Paul said, follow after me as I follow after Christ. Okay, he is, as far as I'm concerned, the greatest man that lived on planet Earth. A lot of people would say, no, Jesus was. Well, Jesus was the God-man that lived on planet Earth. Paul was a man like us. Okay, but on a scale of 1 to 10, you think about the thief on the cross. He got saved, didn't he? And he overcame the world by faith. And then what did he do? He died. He didn't even have time to live for the Lord. So he overcame the world, and a lot of people believe, and they put their faith in Jesus, and they overcome the world by faith. But there are degrees of overcoming. Each and every day we have to overcome. And once again, the thought is we can overcome and we can reign in this life. Other phrases or words that we could use to describe what we're talking about tonight, to describe reigning in this life, shall reign in this life. You remember Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. What kind of life? An abundant life. And then you remember Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you think or ask according to the power that worketh in you. That exceeding abundantly there, by the way, the phrase in the Greek has the thought of whatever you can think of, whatever the outer limit is, whatever the outer fence is, it means to cast beyond. And he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we think or ask. By the way, now unto him who's able. He does the work in us and through us. Okay, so here are some words that that will help to describe reigning in this life. But let's go a little bit further and drill down a little bit deeper. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And we have a thought here that certainly connects and helps us to understand what it means to reign in this life. Do you think about yourself when you wake up in the morning as somebody who's going to reign in this life and be in control? And you're going to rule and reign in this life? Okay, I think God wants us to. He wants us to know that we can be more than conquerors through him. He wants us to know that we can overcome on a daily basis. So, in 2 Corinthians 9:8, and I turned to the wrong chapter here. In 9:8, and God is able to make all grace, notice that word all, A-L-L, such a short word but so comprehensive, all grace abound toward you, that ye having all sufficiency in how many things? All things may abound to every good work. He uses that word abound twice in this scripture. But the word I want to call your attention to is sufficiency. Christ is our all sufficiency. So this is saying that we can reign in life because Christ is our all sufficiency. And he's able to make all grace abound toward us, that we having all sufficiency for all things might abound toward every good work. Okay. You can say, well, he's using hyperbole. He doesn't really mean that. Or he means what he says. We have a couple of choices here. Christ is our all-sufficiency. We can overcome. We can be victorious. Turn to 2 Corinthians 2:14. And notice another passage. It'll help us to understand what it means to reign in this life. Now, thanks be to God, which always, that's an absolute word, always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Notice, we can be triumphant in Christ Jesus through him and what he can do in our lives. We can live the victorious life. Now, this life is going to include trials and tribulations. Peter said, think it not strange, the fiery trial that will come upon you as something strange has happened unto you. And he said, the trial of your faith is more precious than gold that perishes. We will have trials. In fact, that's included when we think about reigning in this life, when we think about overcoming. We overcome trials and tribulations in our life. So part of reigning in this life. The word faith teachers today would teach you, well, if you have enough faith and you're, you know, the Bible teaches that there's five kinds of faith. There's strong faith, great faith, little faith, weak faith, no faith at all. The word faith teachers would teach, well, if you have strong faith and great faith, you aren't going to have any problems. You know, you aren't going to have any health issues. Talk about plastic positive thinking. All right. What would be the steps, though? Let's talk about what would be the steps to reigning in this life. What would be some aspects of such a life for a believer? Now, there's many, many, many things that we could talk about tonight, but I'm going to give you just a few steps or a few aspects of the kind of life that we're talking about when we talk about reigning in this life. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And Doug mentioned this today in his sermon as well. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's read verses 1 through 4. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I want to talk about sound doctrine is the platform, is the foundation for reigning in this life. First and foremost, we have to know that Jesus came and died for us, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. We have to accept him. We have to be born again. That's sound doctrine in and of itself, just knowing Jesus Christ. But the sound doctrine, I don't know how many golfers we have here, but in golf, they say the most important thing in golf is the grip. That's how you hold the club. You have to have a good grip if you're going to play good golf. Grip, stance, and alignment would be foundational principles in golf. Sound doctrine is foundational for us growing and maturing. Let's go to 3:16 of 2 Timothy. All scripture is given by inspiration of God or God breathed and is profitable for what? Doctrine. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for instruction. You know, you would think today when you talk about doctrine with Christians, many times you feel like, or they feel like, it's a dirty word, and it divides the body of Christ. If we agree with sound doctrine, it unites the body of Christ. Okay, it edifies, it builds us up. It'll give us the maturity that we need. Okay, it's through sound doctrine that we can overcome, that we can take the victory, that we can reign in this life. 2:15 of 2 Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Sound doctrine has to do with rightly dividing the word of truth. I can't remember. Somebody told me that Ironside wrote a tract wrongly dividing the word of truth. And I think a lot about that. If we wrongly divide the word of truth, you will not reign in this life. You will not be victorious if we wrongly divide the word of truth. We need to rightly divide the word of truth. Let me just give you one example of that. I'm just going to state it to you. In Ephesians, it says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So we're saved by grace, unmerited favor. It's not by works. So we are not saved by good works. How many people are hung up on good works today? How many Christians are clinging to good works? And they think, it's called the Arminian doctrine, that you can lose your salvation. The Calvinistic doctrine says you have to be persevering in good works and holiness at the final hour, or you weren't saved. Not all Calvinists believe that way. But there's a strong emphasis on perseverance, which has to do with works. And if you aren't really persevering, you weren't really saved to begin with. So there's confusion when it comes to works. But the next verse says, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in." So we aren't saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. How much confusion is there with that doctrine alone, grace and works in Christianity today? It's very sad to look at how many Christians are still trying to work to maintain their salvation or to continue to be saved or to earn their salvation. I would say a very high percentage of Christians are still caught up with works, and they do not understand the grace of God. If you don't understand grace and works, you will not reign in this life. You will not be victorious. You will live a defeated life if you're caught up with works. And lots of people are. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Let's look at another doctrine that is foundational if we're going to reign in this life. We've got to understand these things. God put it in the Bible for a reason, that we might profit from it. And sound doctrine is profitable. It will build us up. It will edify us. Notice in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5 of Romans, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The moment we believe, we have a standing in the family of God. We have a position in the family of God. We are born into the family of God. That is our second birth. The first time we're just born of flesh and blood parents. Second birth is a spiritual birth. We're born into the family of God. Now we have a standing. We have a place. We have a position in the family that will not change. Okay, we need to understand this standing. Okay, I want you to keep your finger here in Romans, but we're going to flip over to Philippians chapter 2, 19 and 20. Something else that we're going to have to understand if we're going to reign in this life. Philippians was written 30 years after Paul was saved on the road to Damascus, and it's one of the most mature. These are one of the most mature groups of saints that he wrote to. But notice in 2:19 and 20. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Notice the word state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. State has to do with how are we living the life. It has to do with that walk that Doug talked about this morning in his sermon. How are we living the life? So we have to understand the difference in our standing and our state. Do you realize how many Christians confuse those two things? They think when they go out and sin, well, I must not really be a Christian or I wouldn't have done that. They don't understand their standing in the family of God. And when you're confused about this, you will not reign in this life. You're going to live a life of confusion to a degree. All right, we need to understand sound doctrine. We've got to get this if we're going to reign in this life. We've got to get this if we're going to live the abundant life. We've got to understand what we're talking about if we're going to be more than conquerors through him. We're going to have to understand this if we're going to live a victorious life and the overcoming life. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. Verses 9 through 12. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are, notice this word, all, A-L-L, under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all, A-L-L, gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. If you were going to try to communicate sin to people, how could you say it more clearer than this? These are clear, plain words. You'd have to pour the meaning out of the words. And Doug mentioned in a sermon recently, this guy on TV, Joseph Smith, doesn't like to talk about sin. I read the back of a book one time. I was on vacation flipping through this book by Joel Osteen. He said, oh, I never talk about sin because I don't want people to feel bad when they leave my church. Do you remember when we talked about we will heap to ourselves teachers that will do what? Tickle our ears. Tell us what we want to hear. And by the way, Joel Osteen, I guess, has the largest church in America. They are heaping to themselves a teacher that will tell them what they want to. I don't want to talk about sin. I might make you feel bad. Paul talked about sin. Now, we have to first understand that we're sinners. Why is that? We have to understand that we're sinners. Because Christ came to save who? Sinners. Okay, that's the fact. We have to first understand that we have a need. Jesus said to those Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes, you have no need of a physician. Why did he say that to them? They didn't think they were sick. We have to realize we're sinners before we need a Savior. Notice in verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You talk about plastic positive thinking. I'm not going to talk about sin because I don't want anybody to feel bad. A good friend of mine heads up the Denver Street School. They have about 40 schools around the nation for inner city kids. And his name is Tom Tillipaw. And Tom and I have talked about this before. He said, Norton, he said, that is a sinless salvation when you don't talk about sin. Think about that. I'm not going to talk about sin, but I want you to accept Christ. Okay. Paul started out, Romans, laying the foundation, talking about the fact, I've proved that all have sinned, Jews and Gentiles. Okay. So in 2 Peter 1:4, I want you to, you can hold your place if you want to in Romans. We'll be going back there again. But in 2 Peter 1:4, we need to understand first and foremost, we have a sinful nature. We have a nature, and there's no good in that nature. It is a sinful nature. But thank God, when we accept Christ, we receive another nature. Whereby, this is 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we receive a divine nature. We receive the nature of Christ himself. Christ comes to live in us. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me. Okay, so we see we now have a divine nature, so we have two natures. We've got to understand the two natures if we're going to reign in this life, if we're going to be victorious. We have to understand sound doctrine. Okay, Christians that I talk to, when I talk to them about the two natures, they normally haven't heard this before. In fact, I've done a study or two where somebody will go, I've been in the church my entire life. I've never heard this. Why haven't I heard this before? The two natures. Think about that. How foundational that is to understand our two natures. Let's go back to Romans 7:18. We've got to understand the struggle. If we don't resolve the struggle within, we won't be entering into the spiritual warfare that God wants us to enter into. We won't grow. We won't mature. We won't develop the way God wants us to. But in verse 18, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. We have to understand that the old nature, which is the flesh, there is no good thing in the flesh. The flesh can do nothing but sin. Okay, I'm going to read another translation to you from verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For that which I am working out, I do not approve. I do not understand my own actions. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Christians don't understand the battle, the struggle that goes on between the flesh and the spirit. We need to understand this battle. We need to understand this struggle if we're going to reign in this life. For I do not what I would, but what I hate. So things I don't want to do, I do, and things I want to do, I do not. We have to understand. Why is it important to understand that? Because when you're a Christian, if you go out and sin, many Christians think, oh my gosh, I just lost my salvation. I need to get saved again. And then there are those that say, well, I must not have really truly become a born-again believer, or I wouldn't have sinned. So they don't understand the two natures. They don't understand the struggle that goes on within them. We've got to understand that if we're going to reign in this life. We need to understand that there's no loss of salvation. Jesus said, I give unto you eternal life, and you shall never perish. No man, none, is able to pluck himself out of my hand. My Father, which gave you to me, is greater than all. And then we read, in no wise will I cast you out. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. We need to understand eternal security. We need to understand this battle that goes on within us. Or we can be very, very discouraged and grow very, very confused about what's happening. And we need to understand those two natures. Okay, Romans chapter 6. And this ties in with chapter 7. Romans 6, 7, and 8 are the chapters on sanctification. It's amazing how confusing sanctification is to Christians and how we can confuse what Paul talked about in this doctrine of sanctification. I'm just going to point a couple things out to you here in chapter 6. I used to say that if I were stranded on an island, Kyle made fun of me the other night when he was speaking, said, Norton, you know, if he were stranded on an island, he likes Romans chapter 8. But I must tell you, chapter 6, I think, is one of the most powerful chapters also in the Bible. There's a lot of truth in this chapter. We see identification in verses 3 through 5. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in, notice, the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. We identify with Christ in his death, his burial, and thank God, his resurrection, newness of life. We need to understand identification. There's much that we could say about that. I have about 75 scriptures that I know of, what Christ has to say about us and who we are. And one of the things that he says about us, that we can reign in this life. Think about that when it comes to identification. But something I just want to point out to you quickly, there are three key words in this chapter. Notice in verse 3, know ye not, that's so many of us. Notice in verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Drop down to verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Drop down to verse 16, know ye not. And then if you were to go to chapter 7, verse 1, know ye not. There are just certain things we have to know. As Doug was talking about, not that we understand everything, but we know it to be true because it's the Word of God. We just accept it. It's the Word of God. So we need to know certain things. And then the second key word here in verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead. We reckon what we know. We count it to be true because the Word of God says it. And I often say, I don't understand electricity. I believe it. I don't understand how my car starts when I get in my car. I don't even have a key to my car. It's one of those transponders, and you just push a button. I don't understand combustion. I don't understand electricity. I really don't, but I believe. So believing precedes understanding in many cases. So we just need to know. Then we just reckon it to be true. We count it to be true because the Word of God says it. And then the third key word, we find the word yield in verse 13 used two times in the King James. We find that word used again in verse 16. And then we find that word used twice again in verse 19. Know, reckon, yield is the key to understanding sanctification. We need to understand these words. Okay, let's go to chapter 8 now, which is also a chapter on sanctification. Notice verse 4 of chapter 8, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, not by us, in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This word after, the Greek means to be dominated by, to be under. We can be under the influence, and we can walk according to the flesh, or we can walk according to the Spirit. We need to understand that doctrine. That has to do with our sanctification. By the way, if you went out and you drank alcohol, you'd be under the influence of alcohol. We can be under the influence of the flesh. We can be yielding to the flesh, to the old nature, or we can yield to the new nature. But notice, after the flesh or after the Spirit. And then in verse 6, to be carnally minded is death. Loss of life dedicated to God. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So we can walk after the flesh. We can be carnally minded. And if we are, guess what? We will not be reigning in this life. If we're spiritually minded and we're walking after the Spirit, then we can reign. We can be victorious. We can live the abundant life. We can overcome. Okay. These are just a few keys, a few aspects of reigning in this life. There's many more things that we could say, but Christians do make sanctification a proactive work rather than a passive work, something that's being done to them and in them. Okay, let's go to Acts 1:8. This was actually mentioned today in the sermon. Acts But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. Be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Go to 4:8. Doug actually mentioned this today. 4:8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, full of the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Anyway, he was full of the Holy Spirit. That's what I want to emphasize here. On an ongoing basis, we need to be full of the Holy Spirit. Okay. First and foremost, we need to be filled, but then every single day, we need to walk in the Spirit. We need to be full of the Spirit. Okay, notice in 4:13, I believe this was actually mentioned today. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. But notice the boldness here. We need boldness. We need to be full of the Holy Spirit if we're going to reign in this life. We need everything that's available to us. We certainly need the power of the Holy Spirit. And 4:33, that's where we see the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need the boldness of the Holy Spirit. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit. 4:33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. But notice the great power. We need the power to overcome. We need the power to be victorious, to be more than conquerors through him. So there's much more we could say about reigning in this life, but we can reign over the trials of life. We can reign over and in fiery furnaces, over and in lion's dens. When we're facing a flooding Jordan, we can reign in this life. I would say that's positive. Will there be any justifiable excuses when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Well, there just wasn't enough sufficiency. There just wasn't enough power there for me. There wasn't enough for me to get the job done. Are there going to be any justifiable excuses when we stand before that judgment seat? And let's go to Galatians 2:20. We're going to be wrapping up here. This is a verse that's become more and more a verse that I think about. And I will admit to you, this verse was at one time, I think maybe it was a little confusing to me, but more and more it's become more clear as I think about the victorious life and Christ working in me and through me. Okay. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ lives in me. I need to allow Christ to be manifested. I don't really want people to see Norton Rainey. In fact, the Bible says, cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils. I got breath in my nostrils. And I am my greatest enemy as far as I'm concerned. That flesh within me, that old nature. Okay. Once again, now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we think or ask according. We can reign in this life. Do you wake up and think about yourself as an ambassador for Christ who's going out to reign in this life? You're going to be in control of the circumstances that come to your life. Do we count it all joy when we fall into divers temptations? That's a tough one, isn't it? All things work together for good to them that love God. That's tough, isn't it, at times? But we can reign in this life. And we can overcome and we can be victorious through him that loved us. We can reign and be victorious over the flesh, over the world, and over Satan. And we'll conclude with Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. We need to meditate upon these things. I would say reigning in this life, that's true, and it's honest, and it's pure, and it's lovely. Being victorious, we need to think about these things so that we can rule and reign. Do Christians think that they can really reign in this life? friend told me recently, very honestly, Norton, I always thought that talked about the future. That was always talking about heaven, not now. And I think a lot of people, a very high percentage of people probably think that way. We need to believe that we can reign in this life. Once again, one of the meanings of that word reign is kingly rule, exercise kingly rule. We can rule over the circumstances of life. We don't have to be dominated by the circumstances. We don't have to walk in defeat. We can rule and reign now, and then we can rule and reign with Christ forever. This is not plastic positive thinking. This is biblical thinking. We need to apprehend what we're talking about, and we need to live this life. And what was the message on today? What was the challenge? To be wise. We're going to have to be wise to rule and reign in this life. We will not be wise if we don't reign and take control of the circumstances. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed.